Thanksgiving. Super original, right? Yeah. Thanksgiving. Yeah. So, really, one of the reasons that I think it's important for us to come back to this on a yearly basis, most of you have known how I preach over the years. I like to preach through series. There are times that I will preach on just one section of Scripture here or there, but one of the reasons that I like to spend time in one area of the Bible is because so much of it, we can kind of, what I like to call crowbar Scripture. We can pick and choose and jump from place to place, but I think it's important for us to get a complete picture of what's being said and what the Scriptures are teaching us about a certain subject or as we study together in a book. So that's a little bit of the reason why I like for us to spend time in these areas. And over the next few weeks, we are going to dig into specifically this idea of thanks. Now, for me, I didn't turn my mic on. Sorry, Ward. We're going to get it figured out. That was me. You'd think after a few sermons here, I'd know which direction the mic was on. In case you're wondering, it's back. So if you can't hear me, just let me know to put my microphone back. So that's completely off the subject. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is where I want us to begin this morning. As we study together this idea of a grateful spirit. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We read it in its context a few moments ago during our announcements. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to begin by making maybe a confession to you. I am not a thankful person. Just by nature, I'm just not a very thankful person. Maybe some of you are. Maybe it just kind of happens in your life to where you see something and you recognize the blessing and you give thanks for it. Now, I'm not saying I don't say thank you. I'm not saying that I don't have manners. But for me, Thanksgiving has always been one of those areas that I struggle. I've told you this before. I'm a little bit more of a glass half empty sort of person. You know, for me, giving thanks is almost a secondary thought. And as I shared with the children, Thanksgiving is one of those times that is important for me because I do have to take a moment and remember all that I have been given. You know, one of the things that I think we all do as people is we get in these patterns and we start to work through these processes and we can miss all of the things that surround us. Thanksgiving, we know its historical perspective and all the things that come from it, but above what happened here in our country generations ago, Thanksgiving is a deep-rooted idea throughout Scripture. As believers, as followers of Christ, Thanksgiving is something, it's a characteristic that we should have. Now, for me, I'm just curious, how many of you in your family was Thanksgiving or is Thanksgiving a big thing? Like a big thing where everybody brings themselves and their dogs. Some people have, you know what I'm saying, they bring their dogs to Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving was a huge thing. I can remember as a kid, Thanksgiving was a big part of our family. I can remember going to my grandma's house and lived in this single wide trailer. And we would pack, I don't know how many cousins I actually have, but it seemed like there were more every year. We'd all shove in this little trailer. And I remember sharing these times together as a family. My family's a little bit weird. I've shared this story with some of you. My family ate steak for Thanksgiving. We didn't do the turkey thing. We had steak. So that's, if you'd like to know how to bless me on, no, I'm just kidding. No. Thanksgiving is one of those areas that for me, it has a lot of fond memories. But it can be challenging for me to recognize the areas that I should give thanks. Now, scripturally, as I mentioned a moment ago, Thanksgiving is one of those characteristics that's deeply rooted in the Bible. The Old Testament addresses the topic of Thanksgiving 102 different times. The New Testament, in and of itself, 72 different times. So 174 times, the Bible addresses this subject of thanksgiving. Now, if you believe, and if we read and study Scripture, that if something's repeated, it's important, right? Have you ever heard that idea? If somebody repeats something, it's going to be important. So the idea that Thanksgiving is repeated 174 times, what role do you think that should have in our faith? It's an incredibly important aspect of who we are as believers. But so often, I think Thanksgiving is one of these secondary aspects in our hearts. For whatever reason, something comes along and we struggle to give thanks in it. Even as we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, there's something in us that struggles with that idea, isn't it? Give thanks in everything. When I say that, your mind probably fills in the blank. It says, how do I give thanksgiving in this? Which, Chad, you don't know what's happened this week. How do I give thanks in the midst of that? This morning, we're going to dive deeper into what that looks like and why it's important for us to have this grateful spirit. I want to begin today. We're going to look through a number of scriptures that really drive us to an understanding not only of why thanksgiving is important, but why it's something that we are called to grow in, why it's something, an element that we are called to develop in our lives. Now, some of you, as I mentioned, Thanksgiving comes a little bit more naturally. But for those of us who might struggle with the glass half empty sort of situation, I think what happens more often than not is we get caught up in our circumstance, don't we? We may look around and happiness is intrinsically in our mind connected with our circumstance. But if the world is bad around us, we can't be happy. If we look at our circumstance and we allow our circumstances to determine our thanksgiving, many of us will look at this idea and say, really, if you were to judge my thankfulness scale, I wonder how many of you would say on a scale of 1 to 10, you don't have to answer, where would you land on the thanksgiving scale? If I were to really judge myself, it's probably about a 2. That's about where I land on a thanksgiving scale. For many of us, when I look at my own life, I allow these circumstances to determine the reason in which I give thanks. Let's take a look at the Apostle Paul. Most of us would recognize that Paul wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians. He wrote 13 letters throughout the New Testament. And I want us to begin in looking in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4:4, Paul tells the church in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, what? I say, rejoice. Now, Paul here, when we begin to look at the story of Paul, most of us would recognize that Paul himself endured great hardship, right? In fact, most of the letters Paul wrote, he wrote in prison. This morning in Sunday school, we read the book of Colossians he was literally chained to another individual, that in the midst of this imprisonment, he was willing to give thanks. Philippians 4:4 tells us, just like 1 Thessalonians does in chapter 5, to give thanks with. When it's easy? When it's comfortable? No. To give thanks always. I read a story a couple of years ago I wanted to share with you. As a young woman wrote to her mother in college. Says, dear mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it, and my leg too, when I jumped from the second floor of my dorm. When it had the fire, we were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze, called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dorm livable again, I moved in with him. He had been so nice, I must admit I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine and will write more when I get the chance. Love your daughter, Susie. P.S. Mom, none of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to gain some proper perspective on the news. Now, clearly, if you were to receive that letter, I can tell you Thanksgiving would not be your response. But what we see in the midst of this letter is this girl had misunderstood the situation, the, She was changing the perspective on the truth of what was happening. She had distorted in her own mind really what was most important. For many of us, we look at our circumstance and we can allow our circumstance to determine our Thanksgiving. You see, Thanksgiving and happiness are two different things. When we talk about a grateful spirit, we are not talking about this altruistic idea that says we ignore all the negativity around us. Because, church, I understand. I've walked in the shoes that you've walked in. Maybe I don't understand every circumstance, but we know that sometimes things are hard. It's difficult to be happy. But we can have gratitude even in the midst of that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 reads it this way. It says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that they see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits." That really our attitude, our perspective is a testimony to the world around us. Most of you probably know me fairly well. I'm a very authentic person. I want you to know and see the real me. When bad things happen, you're going to probably perceive that things are really difficult for me in my life. Most of us would recognize that in the role of a relationship, that the closer we are to each other, we can identify the difficulties that maybe are happening in a person's life. But you see, even in the midst of those hardships, that doesn't change that I live out the testimony of who Christ is. So living this attitude, living in this perspective of gratitude, exhibiting thankfulness, helps us to grow in relationship. It helps us to develop and to know and to understand that when someone is walking through hardship, we can come alongside of each of them. I read another story this week. Somebody described that the first few years of marriage in this way. The woman seeing the wife has a cold says, "You don't look good. You should go to the hospital. I've already arranged it. I know the food is bad there, but we are going to have meals catered in." The second year, he says, "You don't look so good. I've called the doctor. Go lay down. I'll take care of the kids. The doctor will be right over." The third year, he says, "You know, you're not looking so hot. When are you done feeding the kids and cleaning the kitchen? You ought to go lay down." The fourth year, he says, "Would you quit walking around here barking like a seal? You're going to give us a cold." The longer we become familiar, the less thankful we become. You see, I wonder for some of us this morning, we struggle with thanksgiving, we struggle with gratitude because we become so familiar with the blessings of God. I wonder for some of us, maybe this morning, we struggle to give thanks in everything because we have forgotten the source of everything. I wonder this morning, maybe we struggle to rejoice always because we have forgotten the author and creator of everything. You see, so much of our circumstance and perspective is determined by the things that are happening around us. Paul helps us then throughout the rest of his letters. I want to read in Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and Philippians. Paul changes our mindset. He helps us to reimagine ultimately what our relationship should be like with Christ and in turn with others. You'll see these verses up on the screen as I read through them. First, out of the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of the news of your faith is being reported in all the world." Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says that he gives thanks for all of his brothers and sisters in Christ, because their testimony, their hope in Jesus had been declared around the world and it was changing people's lives. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. "To the church in Corinth, I always give thanks for you because of God's grace to you in Christ Jesus." Paul again uses this continuing language that it's not just a momentary action, is it? Paul helps us to understand that thanksgiving is something that should permeate all that we say and do. Again, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." The church in Philippi, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." And then finally, the church in Colossae, he says, "I always give thanks when I pray for you." Paul, as he wrote these letters to his brothers and sisters in Christ, had a proper perspective on thanksgiving. Now, what we gain in understanding about those relationships, Paul here, even though he had traveled far away, he understood that thanksgiving solidified not only his relationship with God, but his relationship with others. How many of you have known that person who just has to complain about everything? You ever known that person? Maybe you walk up to him, boy, it's a beautiful day. Yeah, it'd be better if it rained. But you know, I had a really great week. Well, I bet mine was probably way worse than yours. No matter what you say, there's always going to be something negative. You know that person, right? Maybe you are that person. Maybe as we begin to recognize all that God has given to us, what we begin to see is that we need to change our perspective on how we relate to God and how we relate to others. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Let us please God by serving Him with a thankful heart. You see, as we live out thanksgiving, we not only share the testimony of the hope that we have in Jesus with others, but we grow in our relationship with Christ. When we begin to recognize that He is the source of our blessing, we begin to change our mind and relationship with Him. I go back again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. If you still have your Bibles open there, look again. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we understand the benefits of thanksgiving. Let's talk about some ways to develop thanksgiving in our lives. Some action steps, if you will, for how we start this process, maybe if you're like me, of growing in thanksgiving. First, if we want to be thankful, remember everything we have is from Him. Look at Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. 1 Corinthians 4, 7, Paul says, what do we have that you did not receive from God? And if you didn't receive it, why do you boast as though you did? James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting sand. See, many of us will look around and struggle with thanksgiving because not only is it based on our circumstance, but it's based on what we can produce or what others can produce for us. You see, the reason we are to be thankful is because God has already given us all that we need. I love children. You listen to their responses, and they may have been joking, but, you know, one of them said they're thankful for air. I'm curious, when was the last time you said, God, thank you for air? Have you done that lately? Probably not. Maybe some of you said you're thankful for family or friends or whatever it may be. But those simple things that, as we go back to 1 Corinthians 4, it says, what do you have that you did not receive from God? You know, as we reflect on Thanksgiving this week, I think we all take a moment, or hopefully we do. We take a moment and we survey the things around us. Maybe as we walk downstairs and we sit in our heated building and we share a meal together and we get to talk and visit with friends, maybe this morning we take a moment and remember, we didn't really produce any of that. God did. Everything that we have, the ability to stand and speak, the ability we have to interact and to know and to learn, we didn't produce that. Our homes, our vehicles, our jobs, those were not from us. Those were things that God gave to us. James 1:17 again reminds us that every good and perfect gift has come down from us to us from the Father. And what a beautiful promise that last part says, who does not change like the shifting sand. Church, circumstances will change. Relationships will be different. There will be brokenness and hardship. But one of the things we know will never change, in fact, the only thing that will never change, is God. His consistent and loving character. Secondly, I think one of the ways we develop thankfulness is if we want to be thankful, we need to avoid complaining. Amen? Yeah. We need to avoid complaining. Now again, I'm making some confessions to you this morning. I am a bit of a complainer. I try not to be. My wife's keeping her head down, writing notes. Probably writing things I complained about this week. That's not true. I struggle with complaining. And I'm not sure why. Maybe you are a complainer yourself, and maybe I think in my own mind, if I can complain enough, that'll fix the problem. If I whine enough about the issue, maybe someone will listen and respond to it. But really, what does complaining produce? Nothing, does it? Maybe frustration, maybe bitterness, maybe anxiety. You see, complaining really produces nothing. I want to read to you a report by a Dr. Dale Robbins. He writes this: "I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems, but I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, it spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives." In short, the psalmist writes in Psalm 77, verse 3, "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Complaining is the opposite of thanksgiving. These two can't exist in the same heart. So I want to offer a challenge to us this morning. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to go 7 days without complaining. 7 days without complaining. You see, 7 days seems maybe something achievable. I'll be honest with you. I challenge you to 7 days, and I'm thinking, man, I sure hope I can make it to my office before I start complaining. 7 days this week without complaining. And in those moments we are tempted to complain, my prayer is that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that our minds would turn to this. It says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which we shine like stars in the universe." Philippians 2:13 reminds us to do everything without complaining or arguing. That as believers, our mindset should be on an attitude of gratitude. It should be turned towards an understanding of where we have been given all that we have received. And why? So that we can shine like stars in the darkness. I don't have to preach about the brokenness in our world, do I? I don't have to tell you all the issues that surround our culture. I don't have to go into depth of all the depravity that we see that surrounds us. You know it. You can turn on the TV, listen to the radio. But as believers, we are to be different. As believers, as we live out thanksgiving, this attitude of gratitude, we are to shine into the darkness, pointing others to the hope of Christ, rather than dragging them down with us. The final thing I want to share with us this morning on how we develop this grateful spirit is to develop a daily discipline of thanksgiving. You know, we talk about not complaining for 7 days. Maybe in those moments you're tempted to complain, find one thing to give thanks for. Even if it's a nice pair of shoes that don't hurt your feet. Even if it's a place to sit down when your back is tired. Even if it's a napkin when your face is dirty. I don't know. Find something to give thanks for. You see, when our minds begin to recognize this. Now, this is kind of an offshoot of a story, but I had a youth pastor years ago who taught me the principle of bouncing my eyes, right? Now, we'll talk about that just briefly. What that meant was to avoid lust and those type of things. He said, "Chad, Don't stare at it. The longer you stare at it, the deeper it goes into your heart. So I want to challenge you to bounce the eyes of your spirit. Maybe when we start to look at those things that we want to complain about, we want to get angry about, we want to get frustrated about, bounce your eyes. Take your eyes off of those things and remember all that you have been given. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul tells us this. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Always is the key word. Not just on Thanksgiving, but every day. See, not only in these hymns, not only in the moments we gather together and worship and study together are we to give thanks, but in everything, every day, we are to give thanks. For some of us, we look at this as so difficult. I want to read to you this poem. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I found this list of questions you can ask to test wherever you are. Forgive me where I whine. Which do I tend to talk about more, my blessings or my disappointments? Am I more of a complainer, always grumbling, always finding fault in my circumstance? Am I content with what I have, or am I always dissatisfied and wanting more? Do I find it easier to count my blessings or easier to count my afflictions? Do I express thanks for others when they help, or do I just expect it as paying their dues? When other people say, I am a thankful person. This Thanksgiving, we need to remember, day by day, step by step, we can be assured that we have all that God has provided for us because of His love for us in His Son, Jesus. The Holy Spirit walks alongside of each of us to empower us, to give us the ability to do those things. Before we conclude this morning, I want to take a moment and I want to pray. I want us to take a moment and reflect in our own hearts in quietness and silence all that we have to be thankful for. And in a moment, we'll pray together as a body, remembering all that God has blessed us with. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning, God, thankful for all that you give to us. God, as we reflect this week, Lord, I pray that you will help us to see all that we have is because of you. God, not because of our labor or toil, but because of your provision and care for us. God, we remember, but for the grace of God, we would be in the most difficult circumstance we could imagine. God, we thank you first and foremost for your Son. God, that you loved us so much that you sent him to die on the cross for our sins. To purchase, to pay a penalty that none of us could pay. God, because of that, we have been brought from death to life. We've been given the greatest gift that was ever created. God, we come before you acknowledging that there are times that we complain. Times that we whine and argue. We become bitter over our circumstances. God, I pray that you would help us, that you would remind us, Lord, as we walk through this week, God, that you would give us our eyes to see the blessings that you have provided us with. When we are tempted to complain, that you would bring to our hearts something that you have provided us, something that you have blessed us with. God, I pray as a church, God, that we would be a people of gratitude, that we would be a people of thanksgiving, not just one week out of the year, but that in our hope that we have in you, we would shine like lights in the darkness. God, in this community, we would be seen and known as a people of thanks. God, and in that thanksgiving, we would share the blessings that you have provided us with others. God, we thank you for all that you give to us, not only as a church, but as individuals. Help us to use the assets, the things that you have blessed us with to bless others, to point others to the hope that we have in Christ. God, this week, remind us of all that we have to be thankful for. We commit our hearts and lives, our minds, our words, and our actions to you. We're so thankful for all that you do. And it's in your Son's name that we pray.